Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 20, Episode 25. This is Writing Excuses.
Writing Confrontation, aboard the Writing Excuses cruise.
I don't know what to say now.
Just your name.
Your name.
Ah, I'm Dan.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm cueing Dan. I'm also Howard.
So we are aboard the Writing Excuses cruise in front of a live audience. And the first thing that happened on the cruise, one of the first things was that Dan taught a class called Why Your Fight Scene is Boring. I went to the class because I would also like to know why my fight scenes are boring, and realized as he was talking that it actually applied for every form of confrontation that your readers, your characters go through. It's not just the physical confrontations, it's also the verbal altercations, it's facing off against a dragon. It's well, I guess that is a fight scene, but point being, it applied to a lot of other things. And we thought that it might be fun for you all to listen to how we come up with lesson plans and how we react to new material by coming up with something on the fly for you.
And in the interest of, you know, explaining a little bit of the overall writing excuses meta, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yes, we are podcasters with radio voice. We sound like experts, which we're not. We learn so much from each other every day. We come on these cruises, we learn things from our students, we learn things from each other's lectures. It's such a wonderful place to be, being just smart enough to figure out that you don't know enough and you have to learn something new.
I got to say, I do love it when we start episodes with how smart Dan was that one time. I was going to say we should do that more often, but that requires me to be smart more often, and I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah. Well, it's 15 minutes long, you know, so
yeah.
That's the length of smartness we need. Okay, so there were a lot of things that you talked about, but one of the things that I was struck with, one of the students asked a question that then made my brain go, oh. The student said something along the lines of, so you're talking about how if a fight scene is only blocking, it's really boring, which is, like, correct. So how do you get the reactions on the page without stopping the fight scene, without slowing things down? And you gave a whole series of answers, but my brain then started unpacking things into thinking about what reactions were. So here's what I've got, and I wanted to toss it around to see if there's something there. That there are four parts of a reaction. There's the focus, the what the character is noticing. There's the physicality of it. There are thoughts, and then there are actions. So let's say you want to slow down a moment. You would use all four of those. So there's the, I see the sword. You know, there's the description of the sword. The sword is long and with a basket hilt handle. And then there's the physicality, the way the sword feels in the character's hand, that there's a weight to it. Then there's the thought. Yes, this is the sword that belonged to my father that he made for the six-fingered man. And then there's the actions, which would be the slashing and the cutting. And that often what happens when things bog down is that we are using all four of those at the same time, but we don't need all four of those at the same time. Sometimes we're only using one aspect, that the only thing that the reader gets is the focus. And that's another way that things can go bad, where you just describe the way things look without hitting any of the other pieces of interiority, or the character is looking at the wrong things and noticing the wrong things. Like, let me describe in loving details this sword while vamps are coming at me.
It can also, I mean, yeah, you bog it down when you're trying to do all four of those things in sequence, in turn. Compressing is super useful. You know, mm-hmm. if you can use the same words or, you know, one phrase to cover two or more of those things, you know, the familiar weight of the sword.
Yeah.
Well, now I know how I feel about it, and I've described that it is an object with mass. Okay, so I haven't said very much, but it's, but you see where you're heading with that,
yeah.
You know, and that's the sort of trick that we've been using forever, which is you put a line on the page, make that line do as much lifting for you as you can.
Yeah, and I think for me the thing that I'm excited about is that this is when you say this is the sort of thing we've been doing forever. The thing that I love about doing these episodes, and to refer back to an episode that just happened on the stage, but for our listeners was several weeks ago, teaching, it forces me to line my toolbox up. Like, podcasting forces me to figure out what are the tools that are actually in there and how do I use them. So this is why I was like, are these tools here? Have I found a set of tools that I can articulate that that make something that I do unconsciously easier to do on purpose?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And I'm wondering if the issue is, are you using all those four tools at the same time? Is that what bogs it down? Or is it using all four tools every time, and that's what makes it so slow and ponderous? It could be that you need one moment that really gets attention. Like you said, magnify that and draw it out. And then the others could just focus on one to seem much quicker.
Yeah, I also think, I was wondering, like, I was thinking about fighting with swords. So we were in Scotland a while ago, and we got to actually do some sword fighting, which was quite fun for me. And it turns out that I'm very aggressive with a fake sword, which was a fun thing to learn about myself. But what's interesting is, like, I'm thinking back to the moment that I was sparring, and I'm thinking, even though I was reacting a lot in that moment, I actually did not have, like, I could not have thought in that moment. Because it was so new to me, that thought was, like, beyond me. Like, I mean, maybe I'm sure on some subconscious level, like, I had to think to, like, move my arm forward. But I wasn't having a deep thought because I was just like, go, kill that man. But the guy who I was fighting against, a trained swordsperson, might have had time. He was like, oh, I thought about the technique that you... He would slow down and say, like, oh, your technique is a little off here. Because for him, the physicality was so ingrained that he didn't have any time to spend on that and could spend more time on the thought. So I think what's interesting is thinking about, like, in a reaction moment, what is coming so naturally to your character that it's not worth putting all that space on the page because it's just a familiar weight and there's not much more you need to say about it? And what's the thing that's new, that's different about this situation? That is the thing that your character can lean into.
I love that. You have just, and this is the thing that I love about talking to you all, is that you just, what you said just combined with two other thoughts. One was the memory of doing that one of the things that we asked them to do was to teach our writers what it feels like to have a sword. It's not, we weren't trying to learn how to fight. We were trying to learn enough to be able to write about it. And so we asked them to disarm us. And the thing that I remember was that I had about enough time to go, oh, you know, our swords hit each other. And I was like, oh, I could. And then the sword was out of my hand and he had me in a headlock. It was so fast that all I was left with were sensations that I could not register until after the moment, that my hands were stinging and that there had been a poof of air as he went past. And that was all the time I had. And that just combined with a puppetry memory, which was, we did this show called Pied Piper, and it was the hardest show I've ever done. When we started doing the show, we could not get through the entire show in rehearsal because we were so winded. And by the end of the show, it's like, you know, I would come off stage and I'd put the puppet down, I'd stretch a little bit, have a glass of water, and then I'd pick the puppet up and then go back in. And that's my experience of it. But a friend of mine was watching it and was like, you never stop moving. I'm like, what are you talking about? I took this whole little stretch break. And he showed me video that he had taken from backstage. My movements are so fast and so economical, and I'm not thinking about them at all, that all I'm thinking about is the newness, the, I can have a stretch here. I can have a little sip of water. And I think that that happens, that must happen in fights.
It probably does.
Sorry. I'm so excited about this.
No,
I'm
like, this is cool. I'm trying to think of how this newness applies to non-physical confrontations, like you were saying in the beginning, to a conversation or to an argument. And it certainly happens that we get into arguments, you know, often with my children, that I have had this argument with you so many times before. And you already know that you have to go to bed at night. Why do I have to convince you every single time? And so there are certainly ruts that we fall into, but I'm not sure.
I think maybe that moment where you're like, that was a strange facial expression. What's going on there? Like where they have a reaction that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, years and many years ago, I was commuting to work one morning and there was black ice on the road. And I can relate the story in a very, very descriptive blow by blow of everything that happened. But I've driven past that point several times and realized that I can no longer imagine how there was enough time for me to think about what I was doing and what I did. What I ended up doing was driving on the wrong side of the road in order to avoid a pileup of cars at the bottom of the hill. And I've looked at this and I've thought, where did I even find the time or the mm-hmm. room to do this? I don't understand it. Did time compress for me? Did it expand for me? Or was I just reflexively aware enough as a driver to automatically put my vehicle where things weren't going to kill me? I don't know, but I fall back on that experience a lot when I'm writing action because it's fun.
Speaking of finding the time, I believe it is time for us to take a break for our Thing of the Week.
Our Thing of the Week is a TV show. It's on Hulu. It's called Death and Other Details. Mandy Patinkin solving murder on a cruise ship. It is so good, and it is so twisty. It's 10 episodes, and one of the things that I love about it, and I want all of my writer friends to watch it, it is non-linear in the way it tells the story, because they will tell the story, and then they will jump back in time. It is talking about the malleability of memory and how that affects crime, and how it affects the difficulty in solving crime. There's this scene where he's trying to get someone to remember a scene, but he's also trying to point out to them that their memory is not entirely reliable. And so what you see is the character reliving the scene. She's like, okay, so there was this, the room, and then there was spilled ketchup on the floor and something else. And then it cuts back to him and he is waving a French fry with ketchup under her nose. And that has caused her to imagine ketchup on the floor. It is so good. And I want everyone to watch it because it also, and it's also, I'm going to keep talking about this. It's also talking about the narrative, the stories that we tell each other and the stories that we tell ourselves. So good. Please go watch Death and Other Details so that I have someone to talk about it with. I see two people in our live audience who have watched it. I will meet you in the bar.
Between drafting your new novel, building your lore bible, or meeting with your critique group, who has time to stress about website security? As a writer, your website is your digital face to the world that lets people know about your work and where they can find it. Securing your website means less stress about anyone disrupting that important outlet. Kinsta offers managed hosting for WordPress with lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 human-only customer support. They're available in multiple languages and ready to assist regardless of site complexity. It's complete peace of mind knowing your WordPress site is always secure, online, and performing at its best. Kinsta provides enterprise-grade security and is one of the few hosting providers for WordPress with SOC 2 and other certifications that guarantee the highest level security for your website. And Kinsta customers can experience up to 200% faster sites by simply moving their WordPress sites to the platform. They even have user-friendly custom dashboard called My Kinsta that makes managing your site or multiple sites a breeze. And if you're moving from another host, they offer unlimited expert-led migrations to ensure a smooth transition so you won't experience any downtime. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit KINSTA.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
I wonder, actually, if I have an answer or a thought about something that Dan was asking before the break, which is, how do we take these same sort of reaction tools and use them at a time when we're not, you know, hitting people with swords or lifting heavy objects, or I'm glad that you avoided, Howard, going into many trees and other cars. And I think the newness there is can sometimes be that in argument, we sometimes reveal things that we might not reveal in another way.
You just reminded me of something else that Dan said that he was talking about, and I wrote it down, that it is a lot of what we're dealing with in those fight scenes is the character, the fight scenes that work well, is the character's history contrasted with their anticipation. So one of the examples in the class was the was Out of Dune, where Paul Atreides is fighting Jamis, and there's a lot of like little flashbacks, very, very small ones. But I think when you're having that fight, that the verbal altercation, it's like, I know how these things go, and I'm anticipating the way that I'm anticipating the thing that you're going to say. You know how you you have an entire fight with someone in your head before you actually start talking to them?
And yet the fight never goes that way.
And the fight never goes that way.
Because I think like also your emotions become heightened in confrontation, and sometimes like you can become the like a worse version of yourself. Like you become more strident. You seize on some little detail and decide to use that to pick the person apart. And everyone argues a little bit differently. And mm-hmm. So I think thinking about like, how do we bring that to the page? Like it's not just yes to no, it's, you know, this person brings in lots and lots of facts and figures. This person appeals to emotion. This person breaks down physically. Thinking about what those things are, whether it's like a thing you've seen 1,000 times where you're like, not you again with these facts and figures, like that's what always happens. I should have been prepared. Or if it's something new that you're experiencing, it really, I think, is a great way to get to a heart of character, because mm-hmm. sometimes we forget to shield parts of ourselves that we might otherwise when we are angry and we are trying to like get a point across.
This idea that the confrontation will reveal aspects of the character is a beautiful reason to have the confrontation to begin with. A bad reason to put a confrontation or a fight in a book is to say, well, I've reached the point in the scene where something needs to happen, so now they fight.
Yeah.
And we can tell as readers, as moviegoers, as TV watchers, as whatever, we can tell when that was the reason for the scene. And we don't love it. Even if it's really, really well done, we don't love it. We want there to be emotion. We want there to be character reveals. We want something to matter, and we want something to change. And if those elements aren't the underpinning of the action scene, of the fight, of the argument, of the car chase, the whatever, then it's just a thing you put in because you felt like this kind of story has to have that in.
It was one of the things Dan talked about in his class.
I know. This is great. I don't have to participate in this episode because we're all just quoting me the whole time anyway.
For those of you not benefiting from the video feed, there is no video feed. The smug smile on Dan's face.
I just ate a canary and there's nothing you can do about it.
Something else that I was thinking about as we were talking, that I'm now interested to see if it can play into the into verbal confrontations. That the idea that the character's strengths become their weaknesses because we over rely on them and they shape the choices that we make, even when it's not appropriate. And the example in the physical conflict was again the Paul Atreides and his shield training, that he had been trained so carefully to compensate for the shield and slow down that he kept missing the other person. And I think that may also work in stories. Like if there's someone who's like, I am always very articulate and forceful in what they actually need to be, you know, that has served them extremely well in negotiations. But now they are talking to a loved one and it's like, no, actually you don't need to be extremely articulate and forceful. That is a weakness right now. You need to be quiet and listen.
There are plenty of stories to be told around when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and you've made a mess because that's not a nail.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a nail is going to be the name of either my next band or my autobiography.
It's the label on the box of screws in my toolbox.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you all for letting me explore this new set of tools with you. I was extremely excited by Dan's class. There's a couple of more classes that are happening on the cruise that I'm also excited about.
You should all come on the cruise.
Yes. Because the cruise that we've got coming up has a whole different set of classes that I'm also excited for. But I think it is time for our homework.
Yeah, so for the homework, I want you to do one of the things that I did in my class, which is go and watch an action scene in a movie, something that you really like, whether this is a Jackie Chan scene or whatever. And then to kind of underline how different books are as a medium, transcribe it blow for blow and step for step and see how long you can get into that before you want to tear your own hair out because it becomes incredibly boring. Then, after you've proven that the blocking and the blow-by-blow doesn't work, rewrite that scene in a way that does, in a way that translates to and uses the medium of prose.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go fight.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. This episode of Writing Excuses was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., produced by Emma Reynolds, and engineered by Alex Jackson. Your hosts for this episode were Mary Robinette Kowal, Aaron Roberts, Howard Taylor, and Dan Wells. This episode was recorded live at the Writing Excuses cruise aboard the Navigator of the Seas. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.